Good morning. It is such a joy on behalf of all the pastors and staff and leadership here at the church to welcome all of you here today. I do want to especially welcome you if you're visiting with us. What a privilege to have you join us for Easter today. What we're celebrating today, as we've already sung and as we've already heard in God's word, is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And what we're celebrating is not some sort of metaphorical resurrection, because then we'd have a metaphorical faith. We're not celebrating just some sort of figurative resurrection, because then we just have a figurative faith. What we are celebrating this morning is the certain resurrection of Jesus from the dead, because that is what gives us our certain faith. Here's what you can know this morning and for your whole life, because Jesus is alive. Because Jesus is alive, you can be certain that all of God's promises are true, and they're all true in Jesus for you. And that's what I'd like to think about with you this morning on this Easter Sunday. Because when we think about all of this Easter stuff, I don't know how much you think it applies to you. What we're singing about today, what you've heard about from the Gospel of Matthew, of the tomb being empty and the women running from the tomb, how much does it apply to your life? So on that note, there's one verse in our reading from Romans chapter 6 that I'd like to consider with you this morning. And it's verse 5, in which Paul says, "For if we have been united with Him," and that Him there is Jesus. Paul's talking about Jesus. "If we have been united with Jesus in a death like His," then look at what happens. "You shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His." Now, with that verse in our minds, then I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to ask each one of you a question this morning. Are you certain of where you stand with God? Are you certain of what will happen to you when you die? Are you certain, and I mean certain, certain, sitting in your seat right now, of whether or not God is pleased with you? And if you're certain, then how are you certain? If I may cut to the chase and get right to the point, because I'm supposed to grill steaks for my family after this service. The good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus is that you can be certain because of Jesus. You can be certain because the tomb is empty. You can be certain this morning and for the rest of your life that your standing with God is forgiven. You can be certain this morning and for the rest of your life that when you die, you'll live forever. You can be certain this morning and for the rest of your life that if you are one of God's beloved children in Christ, then God is pleased with you. And your certainty has nothing to do with anything you have to do. It has everything to do with what Jesus has done for you. That's where your certainty comes from. Certainty based on what you do for God is no certainty at all. Certainty based on what God has done for you in Christ is certainty for life. So let's look at that first part of just that one verse from Romans 6. We're going to break it up into two halves. Look at the first part. Paul writes, For if we have been united with him, with Jesus, in a death like his, or make it personal, for if you have been united with Jesus in a death like his. Okay, let's stop there for a moment. Because what this is telling us is there is a doorway into gospel certainty. And the doorway there into gospel certainty is not about performing for Jesus. Some of you may have thought, coming to church this morning, I'm going to get a message. It's going to make me feel really guilty about all the things I need to do in my life. That is not the message you're going to hear this morning. The message I hope, I pray that we have been praying for weeks that you hear this morning is your certainty rests on what God has done for you in Jesus. If your doorway somehow into certainty was about what you had to do or perform for God, then Paul would have said this. For if we have impressed Jesus by doing enough good things for Jesus, then we'll have certainty maybe. And some of us live our lives like that. Some of you have grown up in the church and you think, well, yeah, isn't that the deal? No, it's not the deal. Paul says it's not about performing for Jesus. That's how you get into college. That's not how you get into heaven. Look at it again. It's about being united with Jesus, quote, in a death like his. Well, let's consider what that means for a moment, because that's kind of serious. If you can be united with Jesus in a death like his, well, then it kind of matters to know what kind of death it was. Jesus' death. I'll give you three quick words as you think about what kind of death Jesus' death was, into which you are by faith united. First, it was a real death. Jesus died on the cross, and that death wasn't metaphorical. It was actual. The death that Jesus died to sin, he really died. And that's good news for you. His death was real. His death, that was substitutionary death. In your place, it was a real death. Second, his death was a redemptive death. The wages of sin, which the Bible teaches are serious. The wages of sin, which are death, had to be paid by someone. Jesus paid them all. And that opening hymn, as our wonderful volunteers are bringing up all the different items, we sing this verse in Jesus Christ is Risen Today, and I was back there in the transept thinking, well, that just sums up half of my sermon. It said, but the pains which he endured, hallelujah, our salvation have procured. I mean, we just sang the gospel in 7.5 seconds. It was a redemptive death. And third, because of that, Jesus' death was a resurrecting death. This is the great paradox of the cross. It's one of the reasons why even this morning we have flowers on the cross. Because it was through the cross, through Jesus' death, that he destroyed death. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? It has been crushed, trampled by Jesus on the cross. Through his death comes life forevermore. Jesus' death wasn't a wasted death or a singular death just for him, for us to look upon him and say, well, Jesus died, that was sad. It was a real death. It was a redemptive death. And it was a resurrecting death. This is what Jesus has done for you. And the point of focusing on this on Easter is so that you know that your faith in Jesus, your certain faith in Jesus, comes not as a result of you performing for God, of you accomplishing anything for God. Your certainty, the doorway into your certainty, rests on what Jesus has done for you. For if you have been united with Jesus in a death like his, then look at what happens. Then look at what you receive. Then you shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. You can be certain. This is the definition of gospel certainty, being united with Jesus in a resurrection like his. United with Jesus. Now, what's that mean, to be united with Jesus? Think about it this way. United like your cream becomes united with your coffee. When you pour your cream into your coffee and you stir it really well, never to be separated again. Try next time you pour cream into your coffee. Try separating it out again and see how successful you are. United. Like when your children accidentally draw on the carpet with a Sharpie. And the fibers of your carpet are now united forever with the Sharpie, never to be separated. Hear the good news of the gospel. When you come to Jesus by grace through faith, you are united with him in his death. You are united with him in his resurrection, never to be separated. The end of Romans 8 says, not death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, the present, the future, nor any power, no height, nor depth. And in case you're looking for small print here, he says, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God, united with Jesus in his death and resurrection. So what kind of resurrection is it if you're going to be united with Jesus forever, inextricably, in his resurrection? Well, I'm glad you asked. First, it's a real resurrection. It's a real resurrection, not a figurative or a metaphorical resurrection. It's a real resurrection. Jesus really rose, and this matters. Because if Jesus had not risen, all of his promises would be null and void. And when you breathe your last breath, you're just dead. But you are united with Jesus in his real resurrection. It's a real resurrection. He really rose physically, bodily. Hundreds of eyewitnesses testify to having seen the risen Jesus. Hundreds of them. Many of them even at the cost of their own life. And if they had just been making it up, well, surely someone would have produced Jesus's dead body. No one ever could produce Jesus's dead body because Jesus was alive. And Jesus is alive. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. But, he adds in verse 20, but in fact Christ has been raised from the dead. So gospel certainty that you are linked to forever rests upon the actual real resurrection of Jesus, or else everything falls apart. Second, Jesus' resurrection is a redemptive resurrection. And this gives us real hope in our real lives as we face real struggles and real loss and real sorrow and real pain. Just hear this morning on this Easter Sunday. Jesus' resurrection means that everything is going to be okay in the end. Everything is not okay right now. And we all know that it's not okay in our lives or in our families, in our bodies, in our world. Everything is not okay. But Jesus' resurrection is a redemptive resurrection, meaning Jesus is right now in the process of making all things new. And one day when Jesus returns, he will fully and finally make all things new. Everything sad will come untrue again because Jesus is alive, because Jesus is resurrection. Remember a few months ago when everything around us here in Northern Virginia was encased in snowcrete. Remember that stuff? They canceled school for like 7 weeks or something, I don't know. Well, now it's all gone. It's all gone now. That which was so crippling and impenetrable by my little shovel in my driveway, it's all gone. Spring has come, and it has melted away that which had encased us. Spring has melted the snowcrete. Go with me here. And has redeemed it into the soil to bring about what's blooming all around us now. So spring itself, even on rainy days like this, spring itself is a picture of what we're talking about, of what Jesus has done on a cosmic level and is doing on individual levels. Spring itself is a picture of this sort of redemptive resurrection. Every blade of grass, every flower is growing as a result of winter being redeemed into resurrection. That's what Jesus is doing, and that's what Jesus will do to everything. And that's quite a claim. You can only make that claim if you have destroyed death by walking out of your grave. The angel told the women, we heard this in Matthew 28, verse 5, do not be afraid. And then a few minutes later, Jesus tells the women, running from the tomb, the same thing, do not be afraid. Isn't it interesting that the first sermon ever preached on the resurrection of Jesus was just 4 words long? Must have been nice. Do not be afraid, because he is redeeming everything. And he will redeem everything. And the fact that he walked out of the grave proves that he has the power to do that. Think about it, that when Jesus walked out of the grave and the stone rolled away and the mouth of the grave was open, picturing that open mouth of the grave like Jesus's open mouth swallowing up death forever, like Isaiah had prophesied. So that means even if right now so much of what you see or feel doesn't feel right because it isn't, doesn't seem or feel okay because it's not, feels or seems or is wrong, you don't have to fear. Why? Because of some metaphorical, figurative resurrection? No, because Jesus walked out of the grave. It's a real resurrection. It's a redemptive resurrection. Jesus will make everything okay in the end. And on that note, thirdly, Jesus' resurrection, this is good news for you, is a resurrecting resurrection. Back to Romans 6, verse 5, one last time. If you have been united with Jesus in a death like his, now here's where the resurrection really gets personal for you, makes a difference in your life, then you shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. You are promised a resurrection like Jesus's. So we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead today. Praise God, hallelujah, he is risen indeed. But we don't only celebrate his resurrection as if it was a singular resurrection. Jesus's triumph over death is not just his triumph over his death. Jesus' triumph over death, his victory over death, is your victory over death, your triumph over death. Jesus said, standing outside of the tomb of Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he applies it to all of you, all of us who believe. He says, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus' resurrection was not just for him. This day we celebrate, these songs we sing, all the festivities and celebration around it, it's not just because, well, Jesus destroyed death for himself. That was good for Jesus. No, Jesus destroyed death for you. This is good news for you. This is unimaginable good news for you, because the victory that Jesus has won, he gives to you, not because you perform for him, but by faith you are united with him, never to be separated again. Are you certain where you stand with God? Are you certain what will happen to you when you die? Are you certain, sitting in your seat right now, you're standing with God? You can be certain in Christ, simply by faith in Christ, by being united with him in his death and resurrection. You can know now and forever, I'm forgiven. I'm gonna live forever. And I am beloved, beloved by my Father in heaven, who has purchased me and redeemed me and saved me and promised to never, ever leave me in Christ. And this is all true. Every word of this is true because Jesus is alive. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, let's ring our bells. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Lord God, we praise you. And we bless you and we thank you that you have destroyed death by your death. And by rising to life again, you have won for us everlasting life. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.